One of the things that we've been studying in class on Sunday morning is we've been studying Thessalonians, which talks about the end of time. And we're in Thessalonians, 2 Thessalonians, which kind of talks about that it's going to take a period of time before Christ comes. So we're going through the different years and dates of kind of what is happening. And one of the things that we continue to talk about is Christ coming. And as you see more and more things of the world, everything that we see in the United States is love, peace, get along with your neighbor, everybody's equal. And we don't ever have anything negative. You know, and I watch my kids raise their children, and they're not here today, so I can say anything I want about them. They won't be mad at me unless somebody here says something to them, which hopefully you won't. But as they raise their kids, it just seems like everything that the kids do is okay. You know, so I know as I raised my kids, there was rules, and my kids had to follow the rules, or there was consequences to the rules. And I can give you all kinds of stories of how that went. I don't know if it went good or bad for me or the kids, but there's a lot of ways to look at that. So in this day and age, we don't have many negative speeches that we hear. We don't have hardly anybody get up here and give the hellfire speeches that we used to get as we were growing up. It seemed like as I was growing up, every year there'd be a couple speeches that would talk about the fear of God and what was going to happen to people that didn't follow his commandments or didn't follow his words. And so what I decided I was going to talk about today is I was going to talk about hell. I was just going to come up here and I was going to talk about what hell was going to be like and what you were going to go through. And there was 55 verses that have hell in them that talk about hell. And I didn't realize there were so many. So I read about half of them, you know, before I got tired of reading the negative aspect of what God could do to us. So I read about half of them. And then I decided as I was reading these verses, I decided that our life is all about choices. So my talk kind of morphed into a different direction. And what I decided to talk about, since your life's about choices and that you get to decide, you get to totally decide what happens in your life. You get to decide if you're going to do the right thing every day, what choices you're going to make that day, how you're going to drive your car, what you're going to think about, what you're going to do. You get to entirely make those choices today. I don't think God influences you at all to decide what you're going to do. So I decided that life was all about choices. And what if this was your last chance? What if this was your last chance? So here today, here this morning, is what I want you to think about is this is your last chance. Christ is coming at 11:45 today. And if we think about that as we go through my talk, and I want you to think about Christ is coming at 11:45 today. So we don't know what time he's coming. I just want you to think about being ready. What do you have to get ready if that would happen before you leave this church today? If this was your last chance, would you be ready to face judgment? We find in Hebrews 9:27, and as it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this is the judgment. We are going to die. When is the question? We have no idea when we're going to die. This is found in James 4:14. Whereas ye know not what shall be on the morrow, for what is in your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. Our life is just a vapor. If we think about eternity, is we're just seen and gone. And I don't know how God counts time, but each one of our lives are so quick as compared to eternity. We are just a vapor, just like a snap of the fingers and our life's over. But what if this was your last chance? What if in that vapor this was your last chance? Are you ready for the judgment to follow? We find in Acts 17:31, because he hath appointed a day in the which we will judge the world in righteousness by that man whom he hath ordained, whereof he hath given assurance unto all men, and that he hath raised him from the dead. It will be a terrible day for those unprepared for eternity. It's going to be a horrendous day for those that are not ready. All will be assembled, everyone, everybody on this world from whenever they were born, they will all be assembled. Everybody will be there. We find this in 2 Corinthians 5:10, where we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body, according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad. The greatest judge will preside. Christ is going to come down, and we are going to be judged. And we find this in Revelations 22:12. Behold, I come quickly. And behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me, to give every man according as his work shall be. The Lord, he is the righteous judge. We find this in 2 Timothy 4:8. Henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing. There will be no lawyers to plead your case. There will be no one to help you. No one. You will be all alone. No plea agreements allowed in the courtroom. There will be no appeals. You'll have no way to appeal. Everything that will be said will be the truth, and you'll know it. You'll know it. Everyone will stand on their own record. This is found in Ezekiel 18:20. The soul that sinneth, it shall die. The son shall not bear the iniquity of the father, neither shall the father bear the iniquity of the son. The righteousness of the righteous shall be upon him, and the wickedness of the wicked shall be upon him. There will be justice, but not mercy. This is found in Acts 17:30, and the times of this ignorance winked at, but now cometh all men everywhere to repent, because he who hath appointed a day in that which he will judge the world in righteousness by that man whom he hath ordained, whereof he hath given assurance unto all men, in that he hath raised him from the dead. The greatest books will be open. And we talked a little bit about this morning in class, and I believe the book is complete. God is all-knowing. He knows who's in the book, and he knows exactly what you're going to do throughout your life. Not that he changes any of that, not that he affects it. But the greatest book will be opened, and it will be read. And this is found in Revelations 20:12. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God. And the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which are written in the books, according to their works. The words of Jesus will judge us. And this is found in John 12:48. He that rejecteth me and receiveth not my words hath one that judges him. The word that I have spoken, the same shall judge him in the last day. God's word will be the same in eternity. Matthew 24:35. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not pass away. It will be the greatest separation of all time. One thing I'd like you to do is look around and look at the people that are in this congregation today. Every one of us is not going to make it to heaven. There are people in this congregation today that are not going to make it to heaven. That's hard to think about. It really is hard to think about. Is the people you're close to, people that are family to you, are not going to make it to heaven. So it's going to be the greatest separation of all time. Matthew 25:31 through 46, I'd like to read this, what talks about this separation. When the Son of Man shall come in his glory, and all the holy angels with him, then shall he sit upon the throne of his glory, and before him shall be gathered all nations, and he shall separate them one from them another, as a shepherd divideth his sheep from the goats. And he shall set the sheep on his right hand, but the goats on the left. And then shall the king say unto them on his right hand, Come, ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was anhungered and you gave me meat. I was thirsty and you gave me drink. I was a stranger and you took me in. Naked and you clothed me. I was sick and you visited me. I was in prison and you came unto me. Then shall the righteous answer him, saying, Lord, when saw you we thee hungered and fed thee, or thirsty and gave thee drink? When saw we thee a stranger and took thee in, or naked and clothed thee? Or when saw we thee sick or in prison and came unto thee? And the king shall answer and say unto them, Verily I say unto you, inasmuch as ye have done it unto one of the least of these my brethren, ye have done it unto me. Then shall he say also unto them that on the left hand, Depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was anhungered, and ye gave me no meat. I was thirsty, and ye gave me no drink. I was a stranger, and ye took me not in. Naked, and ye clothed me not. Sick and in prison, and ye visited me not. Then shall they also answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee anhungered, or athirst, or a stranger, or naked, or sick, or in prison, and did not minister unto thee? Then shall he answer them, saying, Verily I say unto you, inasmuch as ye did it not to one of the least of these, ye did it not to me. And these shall go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into life eternal. On which hand will you be on? Where will you be separated? We all know what it takes to make it to heaven. We all know what we need to do to make it to heaven. We all know what the gospel says. We all know how to be saved. We all know how to conduct our life. I'm not sure that any of us here don't know everything that they need to know. There's aspects of the Bible that I learn every week. But I don't think there's any aspects in the Bible that I learn that affect me making it to heaven. I think we all know what it takes to make it to heaven. And we study the Bible diligently, so that we learn more about Christ and we learn more about God and we learn more about the way that he would like us to think. Fathers will be on one side and mothers will be on the other. Brothers and sisters will be separated. Husbands and wives will be separated. Parents and children will be separated. The rich man and Lazarus will continue to be separated. We find in Luke 16:26. And beside all this, between us and you, there is a great gulf fixed, so that they which would pass from hence to you cannot, neither can they pass to us that would come from thence. So if we think about each other today, it's very plain that some of us will be separated from each other. What if this was your last chance to make the ultimate choice? Life is choices. And it's funny because we had that talk from Bob Flack, and one of the talks that's out there, it talks about choices, that we all have choices. And I think that helped me make a title for this talk is, everything we do is about choices. Do you stand with the Lord? Are you saved? And the first question is, are you saved? The separation between heaven and hell hasn't shrank, and hell hasn't chilled lately either. So we don't hear the speeches that we used to hear as we were growing up, but hell's not changed. Think about what fire feels like. Think about what it feels like when you get burned. Think about the pain of a severe sunburn. Think about that pain. Hell's going to be 10 times more than what that pain is. The two most important verdicts will be handed down that day. The day of judgment will be two verdicts, Matthew 25:46. And these shall go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into life eternal. Come ye blessed, this is found in Matthew 25:34. Then shall the king say unto them on his right hand, Come, ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. And then in Matthew 24:41, he says, Depart me from me, ye cursed. Then shall he say also unto them on the left hand, Depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels. You know, I always wondered who made hell. And every question that you have is found somewhere in the Bible. And in this verse, Matthew 25, 41, God made hell prepared for the devil and his angels. He actually made it to send them out of heaven and said, here's where you're going to be. Here's the punishment that you're going to have. This verdict will announce the eternal destiny of everyone. Everyone who ever lived, everyone will be at this. I want to go to heaven. I want you to go to heaven. John 14, 1 through 3 says, "Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also." And in those scriptures that I just read, you know, Christ says that he's going to prepare a place for us. That's why I believe the book of life is complete. I think everybody in the book of life, they know exactly how to prepare and how many people are going to be in heaven and exactly where you're going to be. So in several scriptures throughout the Bible, I'm led to believe that. Not that I'm right. It's my opinion. It's the way I read the scriptures. And then there's a couple scriptures that I'd like to give about hell. And again, I read at least 20 different passages on hell before as I was preparing this talk. And I didn't want to read all 55 because I think anybody that reads all 55 is going to be in depression by the time they get through them all. So it was interesting to read half of what I read. But I'm going to give you a couple of those. Revelations 20, 14, and 15. "And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire." So if you think about, I have a fire at my house every year. I usually have two of them to burn all the brush up. And I try to prepare for that fire, and I have it in an area where it really can't spread. But that fire is so intense that it backs me off of it every year because I wait for the brush to get too big. And that fire ends up being about 20 feet in the air by the time I light it. And it's from beginning to end of that fire lasts probably 5 minutes. But in those 5 minutes, I have my buckets of water and my hose and everything. And when I do that fire, the weird thing is I think about that's how hell's going to be. And I can't come close to it. It backs me off every time. I think that I can have my hose and everything to a certain location. But when my hose starts smoking because it's too close, then I know that I need to back off. Well, that's when I think about hell. And we find in this first scripture that it talks about a lake of fire, which is everlasting. So that super heat that I see in that fire that lasts only 5 minutes will be forever. That super heat will be forever. And then I find in Revelations 21:8, "But the fearful and unbelieving and the abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake, which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. Consider, what if this was your last chance to obey the gospel? Are you ready? If Christ comes at 11:45, are you ready? Are you ready for him to snatch you up? Are you ready for him to grab you and take you? You need to believe that Jesus is the only begotten Son of God. We find this in John 8:24. "For if ye believe that I am he, ye shall die in your sins. For if ye believe not that I am he, ye shall die in your sins. Repent of your past sins," Jesus said in Luke 13:3. "I tell you, nay, but except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. Unless we repent, we perish." This is the consequences of sin. Confess that Jesus is the only begotten Son of God. Jesus said in Matthew 10:32, "Whosoever therefore shall confess me before men, him I will I confess also before my Father which is in heaven. But whosoever shall deny me before men, him I will also deny before my Father which is in heaven." We must be baptized for the remission of sin in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost. This really comes out in 1 Peter 3:21. "The like figure whereunto even baptism doth also now save us, not that the putting away of the filth of the flesh, but the answer of a good conscience toward God by the resurrection of Jesus Christ. We offer here this morning, the baptistry is ready. It is always ready. Baptistry is always ready here. Ready today to have anyone that wants to come forward to make known anything that they need for the church or to fulfill the gospel, to have that chance of the heavenly home, to be part of the book of life, to be able to be called one of Christ's chosen. We offer that as we stand and as we sing.